If you've got a Bible this morning, open it up to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be looking or working out of verses 38 through 48. So whatever you brought with you this morning by way of electronic device, if that's how you're going to read Scripture this morning, do that. If you need a Bible, use the one in the songbook rack in front of you. If you don't have one of your own, you're more than welcome to use that. In fact, if you don't have a Bible and you want a Bible, take that one with you. That's our gift to you. You're welcome to have that, and we hope you put it to good use. So whatever you have to read Scripture this morning, open up a Bible, and let's look together here in just a few moments at what I think is a very challenging passage of Scripture. In fact, I would say as much as any passage in the Sermon on the Mount, this is as challenging as it gets. This is a passage that's going to challenge many of us to the very core of our being. When was the last time someone insulted you? Have you ever been insulted, really insulted? Maybe some of you never have really been insulted. Others of you, maybe you've been very insulted by someone. Maybe you've got a boss who unfairly called you out in front of everyone in the office and made a laughingstock of you, made an example of you in a very unfair, unprofessional, unkind way. How'd you respond? What did you do? What did you want to do? We're going to talk about a passage today that kind of strikes at that. If you've ever been mistreated, if you've ever been insulted, if you've ever been taken advantage of, you ever been taken advantage of? Ever tried to help someone only to be taken advantage of by them? Trying to do the right thing and didn't work out? If you've ever had any of those kinds of experiences, you're going to want to listen to what Jesus has to say this morning. And I'm going to venture to guess you may not even like what he has to say, but you need to hear what he has to say anyway, because we live in a culture that has taken an axiom from Scripture and turned it on its head. We'll get into that in just a moment. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. You'll see by now, those of you who have been here recently over the last few months, you know that we're working our way through this, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And we're in a section of the sermon where Jesus is comparing his understanding of the Hebrew Scriptures, his interpretation and application of those Scriptures with those of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And what we're finding out is that the way the Pharisees and the teachers of the law saw Scripture and understood Scripture and even applied Scripture is very different from the way Jesus viewed Scripture and understood it and applied it to his life. And we're in a section of the Sermon on the Mount where you see this familiar phrase where Jesus begins with the words, "You have heard." And what that is that's a reference to what many of the people that Jesus is talking to in this sermon, what they've been hearing, how they've been told, what this is what Scripture means, and this is how you're to live it out. So Jesus says six times in this part of the sermon, "You have heard," and he usually follows that statement with either a direct quote or an allusion to a passage out of the Old Testament. And so if you've got your Bible open and you're looking at the Scriptures, you should see these words. "You have heard it said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth." Now, where does that come from? Well, it comes, we think, from the Old Testament book of Exodus. And I know I don't have all day this morning to do this, but I want you to look at this, okay? So if you've got your Scriptures there in your lap, flip over to the book of Exodus. If you're not real familiar with the Bible begins with the book of Genesis, and then comes the book of Exodus. So it's the second book in your Bible. Turn over to chapter 21 of the book of Exodus. And I want to look at a couple of verses here, verses 22 through 27, this is where we think Jesus has taken this phrase, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. This is the passage from which that phrase was likely taken. So we want to look at that passage. All right? Exodus 21, beginning in verse 22, if people are fighting and hit a pregnant woman, and she gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the offender must be fined whatever the woman's husband demands and the court allows. That's important. We'll come back to that. But if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. An owner who hits a male or female slave in the eye and destroys it must let the slave go free to compensate for the eye. And an owner who knocks out the tooth of a male or female slave must let the slave go free to compensate for the tooth. Now, I think before we can really understand what Jesus is getting at, we need to understand what Moses was getting at and what the law was getting at, because I think we've missed what really this law was all about. I've given you a quote on the handout that you received as you came in the door this morning from a Jewish scholar named Nahum Sarna. In his book, Exploring Exodus, he writes, you've got the quote there in front of you, "No other sections of the Bible have suffered as much distortion at the hands of Christians as this one. The phrase, an eye for an eye, at once evokes in the popular mind notions of primitive vengeance. Worse, he says, it is then ignorantly portrayed as epitomizing the dominant principle of law in the Hebrew Bible." Now, a lot of words there may be going over your head, but let me try to explain what I think he's talking about. He is alluding to the common notion that many people have, including many Christians. And that is that Jesus came to replace the hateful Old Testament law epitomized by the phrase, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Because that's how we read that, right? When you say eye for eye, tooth for tooth, that's kind of the way we typically interpret it in our hearts. You know, the Bible says eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Is that really the proper understanding, though? Many have thought that Jesus came to replace the hateful Old Testament eye for eye, tooth for tooth with a grace and love-filled law epitomized by the principle, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. What I want to suggest to you this morning is that a closer reading of the law, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, reveals it was never meant to be a justification for violence and vengeance that many of us have turned it into. This principle, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, is known in scholarly circles as lex talionis. And it was never actually given to individuals as a guide to be followed for personal vendettas. But rather, it was given as a guide to the community, to Israel's judges, so that justice might be rendered appropriately and fairly to everyone. In fact, you should know, if you don't already know this, that the Hebrew Scriptures actually forbid individuals from seeking personal retaliation and revenge. That has never been God's will for God's people. God has never wanted His people to take vengeance themselves. An example of that, Deuteronomy 32:35, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Proverbs 24:29, do not say, I will do to others as they have done to me. I will pay them back for what they've done. The Old Testament scripture says, don't say that. Don't have that attitude. Proverbs 25:21, if your enemies are hungry, give them bread to eat. If your enemy is thirsty, give them water to drink, and the Lord will reward you. So this principle, this axiom, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, was actually meant to provide protection, usually for the more vulnerable of the community. In the Jewish community of the ancient world, that included slaves and women. So again, looking at the text, if two men are fighting and in the process of fighting, they injure a pregnant woman, what was the recourse? Well, the one responsible shall be fined what the woman's husband demands, paying as much as the judges determine. If any harm follows, then you, plural, you, the community, not the individual, shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. This law was actually quite radical for its time. In the ancient world, it represented a quantum leap forward. In Israel, unlike other nations, vengeance was not a matter to be doled out by the individual on the whim of an individual, but rather was determined by Israel's judges and the community, who were guided by the principle eye for eye, tooth for tooth, meaning the punishment could not exceed the crime. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth never gave anyone the right to go out and exact vengeance on another person. It never meant that. But now here's the thing. Apparently, that's what it had come to mean. You see, Jesus is not at odds with Hebrew Scripture when he says what he says in this passage. He's at odds with how it was being interpreted, how it was being understood, how it was being applied and taught to people in his day. It had become not, you've been hurt, okay, here's the principle we'll follow, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Rather, it had become eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference in that? How a law that was meant to limit vengeance, a law that was meant to limit retaliation, that was meant to keep justice in check, had become an excuse for people to personally retaliate and take vengeance when they'd been insulted or taken advantage of or mistreated in some way. So Jesus is not at odds with the Scripture. He's at odds with how the leaders were proclaiming and teaching Scripture. They had taken a good law, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and turned it upside down on its head and made it into something that God never intended for it to be. Do you see that? It's important to see that because it's into that culture. It's into this mindset where people were seeing, well, Scripture says I can take vengeance. Scripture says I can get even. Scripture says if someone insults me, I can insult them back. No, Scripture never said that. But into that culture, into that mindset, Jesus comes along and says this. You have heard it said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other also. If anyone wants to sue you, take your shirt, give them your coat as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, willingly go 2 miles. Give to the one who asks. Don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow. You've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Now, I hate to be the guy known as the hyperbole preacher. I don't want to do that. Because I don't want to be the preacher known for whenever Jesus says something hard, Charlie's always telling us, well, he doesn't really mean that. I don't want that to become the dynamic between us as we preach through some of the things that Jesus says. Sometimes Jesus says some pretty wild things, and we don't always want to tame those things down. We want to let them roam free and wild and do what they were intended to do. But at the same time, I have to tell you, I don't think Jesus meant everything he says in this section is to be taken literally. For example, if someone breaks into my home and threatens my family, am I supposed to just say, oh, well, do whatever you want to do. I can't resist an evil person. If, God forbid, someone walked in one of these doors one Sunday morning, as has happened in other houses of worship, intent on maiming and killing as many of us as possible, does Jesus mean we should all just sit here passively because, well, we can't resist an evil person? Is that really what this is about? Or what about another statement here? Give to the one who asks you. Does Jesus really mean that regardless of the request, I'm to give a person whatever they ask for with no consideration of their motive, or that it might actually be better for them for me to say no to their request? How many of you who are parents operate under this principle? Whatever my child wants and whatever my child asks for, I'm going to give it to them. Is that a good idea? You want to raise a monster? Never say no, right? God help the woman who hooks up with a man who has never been told no. What a disaster that will be. God help the man who hooks up with a woman who has never been told, that's not a good idea. We're not going to do that. I'm not going to give you that. That's a recipe for disaster. So does Jesus really mean whatever somebody asks me for? Doesn't matter. Whatever they want, here you go. You can have it. Is that really what this... See, I think we get lost here in some of these things, and we miss the whole point. Things quickly become chaotic and nonsensical when we try to press these things too far. Well, if his words weren't meant to be taken literally, then what's the point? Well, the point is when we're treated unfairly, right? When we're mistreated, when we're insulted, and that's really all the slap in the face thing is about. I mean, have you ever thought about how that would have to happen anyway? We're not talking about someone coming up and trying to fight you. The only way I can slap you on the right side of your cheek with my right hand is to do what? It's not a movement like that. It's a movement like this. It's a backhanded slap. What is that? What is a backhanded slap? Well, that's not somebody who's coming after you with the intent of harming or maiming you. That's somebody who is insulting you. Right? You give someone a backhanded slap, that's not about it's on, we're about to fight. That's an insult in some cultures, right? So we're not talking about defending one's life here when your life is on the line. We're talking about being treated unfairly and insulted and taken advantage of. And the point is, instead of seeking retaliation and revenge, instead of screaming eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and reacting to insults and mistreatment with insults and mistreatment of our own, Jesus calls his disciples to respond to such treatment with the weapons of love and prayer. Yeah, but that's hard. My boss is a jerk. You don't understand the people I'm working with. You don't understand what my neighborhood is like and what people are like. And you're probably right, I don't. And so I will say to you this. This is not easy. Being a disciple of Jesus is not easy. Folks, going to church is easy, especially in our culture. Right? It's not hard to come here in this culture. It's not hard to assemble and gather and do what we do here. Going to church here is pretty easy. But there's a difference in going to church and being a disciple. We get that, don't we? So yeah, what we're talking about here is hard. Maybe that's why later in this very same sermon, Jesus uses words like narrow and small to describe the road of discipleship. And he alludes to the fact that many choose to travel the broad road that leads to destruction, while few choose to travel the narrow, difficult road that leads to life. Being a disciple of Jesus, and being a disciple, and the best way to talk about that is to be an apprentice. It means to learn. An apprentice is someone who's learning from another. To be a disciple, to be an apprentice of Jesus, learning to be like Jesus, is hard. It's not easy. When Jesus calls people to follow him, what's he invite us to do? He invites us to die to self, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him. So yeah, this is a hard passage of Scripture. Have you ever been insulted? Yeah. Probably have. Have you ever been mistreated by someone at work, treated unfairly, taken advantage of? Have you ever tried to do the right thing, but in the process have been persecuted for that or been treated unfairly because of that? Yeah, that's pretty common in life. Okay, well, how do we respond? Here's a question for you. How would you respond? How should we respond? After someone comes into an assembly like this and harms some of us, what would our mindset be then? Well, do you remember the Charleston church shooting a couple of years ago? Dylan Roof, young Caucasian man, walks into a African-American church in Charleston, killed 9 of their members before he could be stopped and then later apprehended. How did they respond? Watch and listen.
I forgive you. You took something very precious away from me. I will never talk to her ever again. I will never be able to hold her again. But I forgive you.
You know, I forgive you, my family forgive you. But we would like you to take this opportunity to repent. Repent. Confess. Give your life to the one who matters the most, Christ.
We welcome you Wednesday night in our Bible study with open arms. You have killed some of the most beautiful people that I know. Every fiber in my body hurts, but as we say in Bible study, We enjoyed you, but may God have mercy on you.
Think that was easy? I don't imagine at all that it was easy for the survivors to say to that terribly misguided, deceived, lost young man who murdered 9 of their relatives and their friends. I cannot imagine how difficult it would be to say the words, "I forgive you." But they did. They did. "Well, I didn't really mean it." "You don't know that." "I don't know that." I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. When they said, "I forgive you," they meant it. They meant it. So, is it easy to be a disciple of Jesus in a world that often champions eye for eye, tooth for tooth, my pound of flesh? I'm going to take matters into my own hand. I'm going to get revenge. I'll show you. You can't insult me and get away with it. In a world where that's applauded, Jesus says, "No, no. Let me show you how to do it. From the cross, with blood dripping down his hands and feet to the ground, Jesus says, 'Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.'" Jesus says, "Let your response be that of love and prayer." Is that easy? No. But if you're a Christian, my friend, that's what we're called to do. And so that's why we've been saying now for some time, there's a difference in being a churchgoer and a Christian, a disciple, who's really learning how to be like Jesus. "Well, I just don't know if I can do that." Well, you're right. You can't alone, but with the help of Jesus, we can become this sermon. When we get serious about following Jesus, He promises to help us through His Spirit to become the people that we've been called to be in Christ. People who have replaced anger with peace. People who have replaced lust with purity. People who have replaced selfishness with faithfulness, dishonesty with integrity, a spirit of vindictiveness and retaliation with love and forgiveness. "Well, I just don't know if I can do that, because I like to hold my grudges. I have a hard time being pure in heart. I don't like to seek reconciliation. I like to stretch the truth every once in a while and make myself look better. I don't want to be faithful anymore. I want out of this marriage." Well, let me ask you this. Do you at least want to do the right thing? Do you at least want to be a person who is pure in heart? Do you at least want to be a person who, when you've gotten angry with someone, you seek reconciliation? Do you at least want to be a person who makes your marriage work rather than looking for a way out? Do you at least want to be a person who is honest and keeps his word? Do you at least want to be a person who doesn't hold grudges and who doesn't take vengeance into his or her own hands? Do you at least want to be that kind of person? If you at least want to be that kind of person, then our prayer to Jesus should simply be this: "Jesus, help me to be more like you." Acknowledge what we're not and say, "Lord, help me to be what you want me to be." Help me not to be just content to go to church, but help me truly deny myself, take up my cross, and follow you even when it's hard. And even when everything in the culture is urging me to do something completely different. But isn't that the whole point of what it means to follow Jesus? He's inviting us to live a very different kind of life. And fortunately, he doesn't leave it to us to do it alone. He says, I'll help you. I'll help you be what I've called you to be. Let's pray. Father, for this challenging passage of Scripture today that hits many of us right between the eyes and where we live, give us at least the desire, Father, to do better. To become people who respond to insults and slights and false accusations and unfairness with the weapons of love and forgiveness and prayer. May we leave judgment and vengeance in your hands, for you alone truly know the hearts and the intentions and the minds of people. Instead, help us to simply deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus, knowing that you see us and that you will reward us appropriately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.